ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the We the People Radio Network. This is Wednesday, August the 20th, 2008. We're going to be coming to you live here for the next 3 hours with a ton of news and information. And we will have wide open phone lines throughout the duration of the broadcast. And area code 512-646-1984. That's 512-646-1984. I'm going to do quite a few topics today. I'm going to do very kind of bounce around between news and topics throughout the duration of the show today. So there might be some things that that you'd like to call in about, maybe get my take on. So that's what we do on this show is we do all levels, past, present, and future. We'll go into the background and stuff, because I know a lot of times when people, of course, you're doing radio broadcasts and mentioning information, there's a lot of stuff where people sort of kind of glaze over things, and they mention names of certain groups, and they move fast, and a lot of people tend to get caught up and really don't know what some of these groups are. So I think it's important that we go back and talk. So we're going to talk about some about the origins of the Council for National Policy today. We're going to talk about the Committee of 300, the Club of Rome. We'll talk about some of that and maybe get into some other topics. Well, I don't know. Who knows where it's going to go today, ladies and gentlemen? It should be fun and interesting, as it always is. So we thank you so much for being here with us today. And it's strange. Over the past few weeks, I've noticed that since 888, since the launch of the Beijing Olympics, and, of course, the launch of the proxy war there, in Ossetia between Georgia and Russia, it's our normal amount of news has sort of slowed down, and you can't help but think that is by design, and that's by these people wanting to shift the focus into certain areas. And that's one of the things that I'd like to, if any of you out there felt the same way, and I'd like to get your take on it at 512-646-1984, but I've wondered if maybe there is something. Is there something going on? Is there a larger plan at work here? I mean, we know what the reasonings behind this proxy war in Georgia are. We know that this is really the initial ramp up to World War III. We know that this is dividing the new Transatlantic Council, of course, with the North American Union, the European Union, Israel, versus the new Eastern Bloc of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization with Russia, China, Uzbekistan, and the new Eastern Bloc countries there for control of the Silk Road, the new Silk Road, and the control of the resources, the free flow of resources. We know that's what it's about. But is there something else going on? Is there another event that's being put in place here, that this is sort of being put out in the mainstream news and, of course, in the alternative news as well, that's diverting our attention away from something else that they're planning? I mean, you see this a lot, a lot. They get us concentrating, focusing on one issue. Meanwhile, we're missing the little signals of what's going on in the background. Now, I know over the past week, I can't tell you, every single day there's been, five stories concerning the control grid and tracking and tracing. I mean, maybe they're very well getting ready to launch something else to lock down the country. I don't know. It's speculation. But, I think that it's very interesting that how many of those stories we've had over the various past few weeks. And so I want to start with this. Now that we're talking about Georgia, this was a Euronet.info story. Came out a few days ago. Putin's winning hand. Once the Atlantic alliance is shattered, America's lifeline to the world is kaput. There are no military installations in the city of Takashvili. In fact, there are no military targets at all. It is an industrial center consisting of lumber mills, manufacturing plants, and residential areas. It is home to 30,000 South Ossetians. When Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili ordered the city to be bombed by warplanes and shelled by heavy artillery last Thursday, he knew that he could be killing hundreds of civilians in their homes and neighborhoods, but he ordered the bombing anyway. There was no Battle of Tshikovali. That's another fiction. A battle implies that there is an opposing force that is resisting or fighting back. That's not the case here. The Georgian army entered the city unopposed. After all, how can unarmed citizens stop armed units? Most of the townspeople had already fled across the border into Russia or hid in their basements while the tanks and armored vehicles rumbled by, firing at anything that moved. What took place in South Ossetia last Thursday was not an invasion or a siege. It was a massacre. The people had no way to defend themselves against a fully equipped modern army. It was a war crime. And that's par for the course. I mean, that's what... We don't have wars anymore. That's the thing. I mean, we really don't have honest-to-God wars anymore. I mean, everything that we see are slaughters. I mean, let's just be honest about this. This is genocide on a mass scale, and these people that wish to depopulate this planet have no problem with committing these acts of aggression and then calling them wars and trotting them out as wars. You know, wars are between two countries. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. Wars have generally been between two countries who have major disagreements or problems over, you know, land or something else. I mean, what we've seen in Iraq, I mean, they still call this the war in Iraq. It's not the war in Iraq. It's the slaughter in Iraq. It's the massacre in Iraq. It's the genocide in Iraq. That's what it is. So we should just call it what it is. And that's what these people want. I mean, there is a specific, deep, dark-seated thing. And I've hinted about it a few times over the past few shows. Really, the deep, dark, underlying thing about what goes on in that area of the world. Maybe we'll get into that a little deeper today on the show, because I think it's important, and that's one of the things I haven't done yet. That's kind of always been the trademark of my show, is sort of going deeper and, you know, really in the underlying things that, you know, whether it be the bloodlines or the ancient societies or the secret societies or anything else. That's always been sort of the thing that I'd like to do, so maybe we'll talk about that, because there is definitely a lot of that going on. These people believe that they have the bloodline right to rule over those lands of the Middle East. And this idea goes back eons, folks. I mean, it goes back to the beginning of time. And I always just have found it interesting in my research of this that, you know, that area of the world, specifically there in what is now in Iraq and Mesopotamia, the ancient civilizations of Sumer, Assyria, Babylon, the cradle of civilization. I always found it interesting that, you know, what has been considered to be the cradle of civilization, where the most turmoil and fighting has gone on for control of that land, you know, and a lot of that is what is considered to be the Holy Land as well, just so happens to be where all the major oil is located. Now, you know, 2,000 years ago, they didn't know anything about the oil being there, or what would be really the use for it. There was no industrial age that we know of, or anything else, so... You know, it's always been really, really interesting that there has been battles for control of that area of the world that have gone on since the initial civilizations that have been set up. And so you see nothing. And that's why these people are executing the fight there in that area of the world. It's because the people of these bloodlines, and you look into, you know, the elites, and you can, I don't care if you're talking about... you know, the Saxe, Coburn, Gotha bloodline that is predominantly made up of, you know, the House of Windsor there in England, which, you know, is a Germanic bloodline. Well, it was originally a Jewish bloodline from the House of David. They migrated up into Germany, became Saxe, Coburn, Gotha, all these other ones. Then they initially went up into Europe, and for the first few... the first few incarnations of the crown, they actually had to hide their thick German accents. So whether you're talking about the Saxe, Coburn, Gothas, whether you're talking about the Merovingian bloodline or whatnot, there is this idea of the bloodline right to rule and to basically enslave the masses that has gone on for centuries. Now, I go back to reading the ancient text and reading the Sumerian text, and, you know, all of the correlations between, you know, what we saw first in Sumer with the text that they talk about, and then what we saw later on with the formation of the Bible, and all these various strange things that coalesce together. But, I mean, there is definitely something going on there. I mean, they talk about heavily in the Sumerian text about the white-skinned people that came down from the Caucasus Mountains and all of this various genetic manipulation that went on, and how they were, you know, they created all these slave races and they created the Caucasoids and put them in positions of kingship. And it just so happens that this war, this proxy war going on in Georgia, you know, right on the foothills of the Caucasus Mountains, where subsequently, you know, a few months ago they found the oldest known civilization ever found on this earth. I mean, there's all sorts of these things. And, you know, going back to the invasion of Baghdad in 2003, the first thing that they did is special forces went in, they blew the doors off the National Museum of Iraq, and they took all these antiquities pertaining to the civilizations of Sumeria. All these cylinder seals with these ancient texts, all these strange, you know, statues that show these, like, alien creatures and whatnot, literally. I mean, that's what they took. It's not speculation. It, I mean, literally, and they were smart enough, they had enough information. Somebody gave these special forces enough information, but they forgo the fakes. And they had fakes, and they had decoys, and they, well, they walked right past those, they went down to the basement, and they blew the locks off, and they got the good stuff. And Bloomberg.com put out an article a few months ago talking about how a lot of these have shown up in Syria. A lot of the antiquities that were stolen, of course, none of the real good stuff that we know about was stolen. But, you know, Bloomberg.com a few months ago reported that all of these antiquities pertaining to the Sumerian civilization are now the number one hottest black market item anywhere in the world. So you got to wonder why that is. And, of course, the high technology that they had there and really the blueprint for all civilizations, this is where you had this initial, you know, idea. In fact, you can go read information from the Library of Congress on Sumer and the Sumerian civilization, and they'll tell you openly there, even the Library of Congress folks, that the model for government that was set forth in that area of the world is still the model that's followed today, and it has really not changed in any way, shape, or form, other than the fact that somewhere along the way, it got to the point where, you know, they changed it over from it being the priest class that was the government to it being now what we see with a traditional model of congressmen, senators, presidents. But it always has been the people who have been compartmentalized and had information that the rest of us weren't allowed to have that have been in positions of power. That has not changed. And I've talked about this before, but I just see this real correlation between what went on in the time of Galileo and how, you know, the Pope and the Vatican and whatnot in Galileo's time had put a prohibition out on telescopes. During Galileo's time, this was considered, you know, technology that they didn't want the people and the masses and the sheep and the flocks to have. Because they were afraid that if people got access to these telescopes, these evil telescopes, and started looking out into the cosmos, that it may bring their sort of religious hierarchy and their religious control to an end. And we see nothing. Everything we see today is no different than that. It's the same. And there is a direct line between that and the secrecy of the military-industrial complex, black technologies, all of this. Because, you know, there has always been this thing where the elites have viewed the masses and the people as children that cannot handle the truth. And there is, you know, everybody wants to know what the solution is. And until we're able to take and find the information that this modern-day priest class and the priest class at large has always hidden from us, you know, we're not going to have any chance of ever formulating any solution to be able to overthrow the power at large of these people, the global elite, the New World Order, whatever you want to call it. It's all these people colluding together. Because when they have information you and I don't have, that means that the playing field is not even. Because we're down here playing on this level, we're in the sandbox, and they've already got the sandcastle built and they're walking through it, you see. That's the real thing. So, you know, I mean, we're trying to formulate solutions down here in kindergarten, and they're up on a completely different level, and, you know, they have all this technology, they have information that goes back thousands of years. I mean, all the secrets to life on this planet, how we got here, what our destiny is, these people have, and that's why they take great pains to keep us from ever realizing what our true destiny is and what we're capable of. And now more and more, it's, you know, what's really gotten the difference between now and, you know, 500 years ago is the fact that the technology is better. I mean, the ideology hasn't changed. But you can go back 300, 400 years ago and read about you know, the idea of you know, global government and bringing all the countries of the, under the world under one umbrella. So that idea hasn't changed. I mean, you can go back and read. You remember the gentleman's name? There's a book called Proofs of a Conspiracy. It was written in 1785. And it's a gentleman who was asked to join some of these secret societies and secret groups, and felt that this idea of, you know, basically wanting to bring the best and the brightest together of the world under one umbrella to rule the world was not something he wanted to be on board with. So he wrote this big expose in 1785 in this book. You can go check out. It's very telling because, I mean, maybe there is some documents before that, but it's the oldest document I've found that really, I mean, 1785, folks, that details beyond a shadow of a doubt all the stuff that we talk about in this type of radio day in and day out. So that's a real key indicator that what we see and what we go through just has a different face, has a different name on it, but really in the meat and potatoes of it, it hasn't changed. It's just a different form. And it's just amazing to me to see how fast they're moving forward with this. And to find out how much we don't know and how much there is left that we have. And we you know, we're coming late to the party here, folks. We got to play catch up real quick, real fast, and we've got to, you know, put aside this thing where we think that any subjects are taboo. I mean, if we think anything is not worth talking about, it's going to give these people an opportunity to be able to run game on us even more. We'll take a break, come back, more news and information on the other side. You're listening to The Global Reality right here on the We the People Radio Network. Stay with us.
Great host, great topics, brief speech at its best. This is We the People Radio Network.
On the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. This is the August 20th, 2008 edition of the broadcast. We do have wide open phone lines at 512-646-1984. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you today. And I sort of woke up today with this idea that, you know, we've got a lot of news we're going to get into today. Don't you worry about that. But I don't know. I sort of woke up with this idea that there's just so much in so many levels to what we see with these people, that it's important sometimes to go back and talk about some of the things I think that people don't know about. Because, you know, we often talk about, you know, the Committee of 300 and some of these various groups. It's interesting to me that when you read some of the ancient texts and go back, I mean, look, folks, here's the bottom line. And I know I move fast through some of this stuff. These people are obsessed with the ancient societies, and there's a good reason for it. Because there's a direct line between the ancient societies, the secret societies, and all religions of the world. Because all the religions of the world spawn from these original mystery religions there that came out of that area and the cradle of civilization in the Middle East. And, you know, when you look into something like some of the Freemasonic connections, and I'm talking about high-level stuff here. I'm talking about the 3% of people that are actually involved in the global structure. And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about the high-level Freemasons. You know, I mean, everybody, there's a lot of people out there that tend to want to try to blame the Freemasons for everything. And really, what you have, and the only reason that any of them have any power, is because it has to do with this compartmentalization of knowledge and these secretive groups that go back to the Brotherhood of the Serpent. And I've talked about the Brotherhood of the Serpent on past shows. I might get into that today. I don't know. I'm not for sure. But it depends on how much time we have with other topics. But that's really the nexus point for all religions, all secret societies, and, you know, where this idea of information that, again, you know, came from various sources. You know, the Sumerians talked about this information coming from off-Earth sources. But then these groups were set up. The compartmentalization of this knowledge was only passed down in the hands of a very few. And the very few whose hands these were passed down to were the people that were put in positions of power. So in the ancient Sumerian text, they talk about this, you know, there's all this talk about this group and committee of 300 in heaven, you know, or in the heavens, in the stars, and then a committee of 300 on Earth. So, and when you start looking into that committee of 300 on Earth and what that, who that consists of here on Earth, it's pretty interesting to find out who that is. And it's all of the, I'll just tell you who it is. I mean, we'll talk about what the group entails in the Committee of 300, but basically it's what you have. Because everyone always likes to try to pin the head on the Hydra of the power structure. But when you start looking, you start thinking, okay, there's this Committee of 300, and these are pretty much the where the power is. And I have a little table here. The Committee of 300 basically breaks down like this, and these are some of the various groups, offshoots of the British East India Company, the Dutch East India Company, the control of opium out of China. That's that's one of the big things too. That's one of the big exports. That's what a lot of people forget about when they talk about wars and this idea of conquering nations. You know, it's not always just about the oil. And of course, the Rockefeller family and their spokesman Kissinger. This is not always just about control of the oil, control pipelines, or anything else. The opium trade is also a big cash industry for these people. You also have the UN and all the subsidiaries, which are offshoots of the Committee of 300, the U.S. National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO. See, that's another agency in the power structure of the government that people often forget about, is the NRO. They're, you know, the NRO is above the CIA as far as the power structure and how and really how secretive they are. You also have the Permindex, MI6 out of England. The ADL. The ADL is highly tied into the intelligence operations. Yeah, with the tons of the disinformation that gets put out. There's a lot of this stuff that you see where it's, it's the Jews that run everything. You know, just keep your focus on that. You know, I mean, all of you got to understand, a lot of that stuff comes from the ADL, comes from the intelligence communities. Because they don't want you to know that whether you're talking about Zionists or Jesuits or the Vatican or all this stuff, they don't want you to know that. They just want you divided between, fighting, constantly bickering over which side is in control instead of realizing that all of these people sit at the same table together and all have power and are all trying to run the global government. I mean, that's the main thing. It's astounding to me to see how many people still haven't figured that out. You know, instead they just want to stay in these ideas and stay, separated. And bickering and arguing over, oh, no, it's this group. No, it's this group. No, you're wrong. No, well, if you say it's not the Zionists, then you are a Zionist. You know, I mean, all this is crap. Because, if you really take the time to research stuff for yourself and not, listen to what somebody else is saying, you'll go find out that there's no need. I had Jim Mars on a couple of weeks ago for 3 hours, and we were talking about Warburgs and Rothschilds and whatnot and how these... the same people that funded the Nazis and the same people that had these ideologies for National Socialism were in place before the rise of Hitler and are still in place today. And so we were talking about Rothschilds and Warburgs, all these people, and actually had, I heard myself, I got criticized on one of these ADL plant shows, I guess that's what I call them, the ones that just say it's the Jews all the time. But I got criticized on there because every time we talked about a Warburg or a Rothschild, we didn't... add the caveat onto it that they were a Jew. And I'm sitting here going, do you realize that that's what these people want? Do you realize that they, we've had 9/11 truthers, folks, called anti-Semites. I mean, literally. That's what they want. They want us throwing all these labels out there all the time so they can minimize our information. And it's like, of course, okay, I just take it as a given. You should know that the Warburg or the Rothschilds or these people are Zionists or Jews or whatever. I mean, I don't feel the need to add the caveat on there. Of course, people want to try and do that because that's the thing. They need this information minimized at all cost. That's the bottom line of it. That is the bottom line. So that's, be careful to don't fall into those things where, you're adding the caveats onto the end of the information. It's just important that you know it. No one in the realm and scope of this type of radio can give you all the information. I mean, at some point, the responsibility lies in the hands of the individual to take the foreground of the information that any host, I don't care who it is, all of us, are giving you, and then take that into your own hands, and then go find it out for yourself and then find out what the little connections are and the little caveats and all this stuff are. You know, instead of expecting, well, that person doesn't get up here and every time they say the word Warburger Rothschild, he doesn't add Jew onto it, so they're probably suspicious. You know, I mean, that's not the job here. The job is the dissemination of information and to get this further than we were before. So some of the other Committee of 300 offshoot groups, the Bilderberg Group, of course, the International Institute for Strategic Studies and the Control of the Media, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Rhodes Scholars in the Roundtable, the Aspen Institute for Humanic Studies. By the way, later on in the show, we're going to talk about the Council for National Policy and how that goes back to the Rhodes Scholars, Aspen Institute, all that, the Canadian Institute for International Affairs, Trilateral Commission, the CFR, the Tavistock Institute, which, of course, spawned the eugenics and, the Darwinistic eugenics, ideologies that a lot of people put to, it's evolution, and I believe that evolution, as far as plants and animals and whatnot, that is very real. But when you look at humans, folks, everything as far as evolution happens on a slow scale. Well, our evolution happened on a really fast scale, and no one can really account for that. But, the whole evolution thing, you just look in the background, and I've had so many arguments with people. I mean, it's a eugenics idea. But the Brookings Institute, Henry Kissinger, the Star Group, the RAND Corporation, the Club of Rome, the CIA, MK Ultra, all of this stuff is all offshoot to the idea of the Committee of 300 and these various groups that have set up for control that are compartmentalized. So we'll talk more about this and a whole lot more on the other side. 512-646-1984 is the number if you'd like to join us. This is The Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us.
Because I'm living my life like a good Homo sapien. But all around me, everybody's multiplying and they're walking around like flying man. So I'm no better than the animals sitting in the cages in the zoo, man. 'Cause compared to the flowers and the birds and the trees, I am an ape man. I think I'm so educated than the source of the lies, 'cause I'm a strict vegetarian. And inflation and starvation and the crazy politicians. I don't feel safe in this world no more. I don't wanna die in a nuclear war. I wanna sail away to a distant shore and make like an ape man.
All right, back here on the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. This is the Wednesday, August 20th, 2008 edition of the broadcast. We've got so much to talk about today. And I really like, sometimes going and digging deeper and going back into some of the information that it's really the bits and pieces of the New World Order at large and getting into that because, there's all of the stuff that all the writings, it's so interesting to me how much of the stuff that I read, 5, 6, 7 years ago and 10 years ago in some cases that... I was sort of, when at the time when I was reading it, didn't really have a context for it. And what I'm finding out now, going back and looking at some of this stuff, especially with some of the Zbigniew Brzezinski writings, Rise of the Technotronic Era, written in 1969, the Geostrategic Triad, Grand Chess, where all this stuff, I remember when I was first initially reading it, a lot of it didn't really add up to me because... It was so far ahead of its time, we hadn't seen the mechanisms play out yet for this stuff to have ever come true. And it's amazing now when you go back and read some of those writings, you go, oh my goodness gracious. I mean, this stuff is happening right now, and all the events we've seen that have occurred over the past, 10, 20 years have been a lead up to this. I mean, if you go read Grand Chessboard now, folks, you're going to freak out because... I mean, it's exactly what we're seeing happening. So these people know years, decades, in a lot of cases, that this stuff is going to happen. And it's just amazing how they're happy to sit back and let it play out on a slow scale. These people are patient. I mean, these are like, these are like hunters, folks. They have the patience to sit in the nest and wait for the kill to come along. They don't rush it. I mean, this is how you know you're dealing with some cold-blooded killing people. And before the break, we're talking about the Committee of 300. So these various groups, and really how the power structure breaks down. Because it's easy to say, well, this group and that group and this, but it's a completely different thing once you find out that all these groups are operating under one umbrella and they all have the same goals. I think that's important for us to get out to people and for people to understand, because once we can put that forward and once people can take that into their knowledge base and into their person, they can then realize that, you know, trying to break this stuff up into one, you know, one assigning blame to one group is just silly, because then you're really neglecting your attention away from the big picture. And so some of the stated goals of the Committee of 300 are to establish one world government with a unified church and monetary system under their direction. Now, I mean, you look into, and again, a unified church and monetary system under the direction, you look into the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, and there's a guy by the name of John Gornfeld who has written a book called Bad Moon Rising, and I actually got a copy of it, a review copy of it a few weeks ago, and I'm in the process of reading that. We're going to have John Gornfeld up on the show, and he really has done the most extensive amount of research on the Moonies. The Mooney cult, and I'm also been doing a quite a bit of research in the film that I'm making right now called The Secret Right, which is about this secretive group, the Council for National Policy, and how they control the military-industrial complex and really the idea of the one-world religion. And that's one of the things that that he covers extensively in his book, is how, you know, they really are making the Reverend Sun Myung Moon out to be the one-world messiah. I mean, they crown this guy the King of Peace at a government building with all sorts of senators and congressmen present a few years ago. That video is up. If you go to my MySpace, myspace.com/globalrealityshow, you can scroll down on the left-hand side of the screen, and there's a video player there that you'll see. There's a video player there that you'll see that has... that was weird. We sort of got cut off there for a second. But there's a video player there that you'll see that has Reverend Sun Myung Moon on it. And if you play that video, that is a little video that John Gornfeld, the author of the book Bad Moon Rising, had made. And there's lots of good info in there. But that's really what they're setting up. And we see what's happening now with the monetary system, with the current devaluation of the dollar happening, and how that is the pretext to moving us into the one-world currency. See, they want to merge the dollar with the euro. And I believe that what we're seeing happening right now, where the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is asserting their power and their dominance as the new world superpower and the new controller of resources, I believe that's how they're going to eventually sell us on this idea of merging with the European Union, taking us back under the crown, and merging our currencies. You know, selling us on this idea, well, this is what we have to do to fight the new Eastern Bloc. This is what we have to do. And this whole thing where... oh, it's all Russia. Russia attacks. You see, they're already setting the precedence for Russia as the new enemy. And Russia, you know, Russia is an enemy. I mean, that's one of the main things we got to be careful of. Is, yes, I mean, it's important for us to point out that this attack was led by Georgia and that it was backed by, you know, Israel and the United States. But it's also important that we don't let Russia off the hook and try to, you know, make them out to be some good guy or something in all this. You know, I mean, that's an important aspect of this that we have to remember, is that none of these people are innocent, folks. Okay, I mean, in the Central European bankers fund both sides of these conflicts because they want one world government. The one world government began to set up its church in the 1920s and 30s before they realized the need for a religious belief inherent in mankind must have an outlet, and therefore set up a church body that believed in the direction they desired to bring about the utter destruction of all national identity and national pride, which was a primary consideration in the concept of one world government, was to work. Again, these are ideologies of the Committee of 300. To engineer and bring about the destruction of religion, and especially the Christian religion, with one exception, their own creation, as mentioned above. And this is what we've seen now. I mean, this is, again, this is the ideas of the priest class that have gone back for centuries. is they give you a filtered, watered-down version. They give you this religion as a control mechanism. That's what we see through the Christian Zionist movement. You know, people like Hagee and all the evangelicals. They give you that while they have their secret knowledge and follow a completely different dogma of their own. God, again, nothing new. To establish the ability to control of each and every person through means of mind control, and what Zabrinu presents he called technotronics, which would create human-like robots in a system of terror, which would make Felix Brzezinski's Red Terror look like children at play. And that's, again, you know, the rise of the technotronic era between two ages. Zabrinu Brzezinski, written in 1969, he talks about how at the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century, that it would be possible to create people that are, you know, not quite humans, and to manipulate society and humans chemically, and chemically alter them, and to also have this global computer system that would have information on every single citizen in the entire world, and how this information would be readily available to law enforcement, government officials at the drop of a hat. Now, what have we seen? That's exactly what we've seen, and what do we see as the genesis for that? 9/11. To bring about the end of all industrialization and the production of nuclear-generated electric power and what they call the post-industrial zero growth industry. Accepted are the computer and service industries. U.S. industries that remain will be exported to such countries as Mexico, where abundant slave labor is available. Now, what have we seen? I mean, we're talking about information here that was written 20 years ago, folks. And what have we seen? We've seen exactly that happen. We've seen our industry shipped off to other countries where the labor is cheap. As we saw in 1993, this has become a fact through the passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement, known as NAFTA. And, of course, that was signed in with Poppy Bush, David Rockefeller, all the top-level players. Unemployables in the U.S. in the wake of industrial destruction will either become opium, heroin, and or cocaine addicts, or become statistics in the elimination of the excess population process we now know of today as Global 2000. And again, you know, what have we seen in this decade? We have seen, you know, the methamphetamine addiction. We've seen the cocaine, the heroin addiction, more drugs on the streets. This is all part of the plan, all part of the depopulation, and part of these ideas of the Committee of 300, which we're going to talk more about on the other side. You want to join us, 512-646-1984. This is the Global Reality on We the People. Stay with us.
If you listen like you please, well, it's all.
Here with you on the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Welcome to today's broadcast. Thank you to everyone for tuning in to us today. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to cover a lot of ground today, folks. We're going to get into a lot of different topics, news as well. And we're going to basically shuffle around and get into all levels of it. And we're just really happy you guys could join us. My email address is globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Thoughts, guest suggestions, news items, topics. You know, if there's topics, if there's things that you want to hear talked about, if there are topics you think we should do shows on, by all means, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. I take all the listener email that I get to heart, and I really enjoy getting a lot of your stuff. You guys have been really great this week with me being in the new time slot here. You guys have been really great with the stuff that you've been sending me. And we are going to have you some big guests coming up. I've been lucky enough to be able to get quite a few big guests over the course of the year that I've been on the air. So we'll be bringing some of those people up in the future for you here. And we do have wide open phone lines at 512-646-1984. I noticed we had a call on there for just a second, and they hung up. But if you'd like to call back, caller, I'd love to get you up on the air. 512-646-1984. And we're talking about the Committee of 300, and I was stating some of these various goals that they set forward. It's just amazing, you know, to know that some of these stated goals have been around for decades, and you know what we're seeing now. That's why I think it's important to go back and read some of the writings that these people put out, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and then nexus that in with what we see happening today. Because, you know, a few years ago, it may have been possible to say, well, yeah, this is what they're going to do, but when are they going to do it? When is it going to happen? Well, folks, I mean, this is why we live in such interesting times, and that's why your support of We the People Radio Network and all Patriot Radio shows at large is so important, because we're now here in the time in which they're putting this stuff into play. I mean, it's here now. It's not, might happen, oh, well, maybe that's something they'll get to down the road. I mean, we're here in the full throes of it. This is really it. And, you know, this stuff where they're talking about, you know, the end of the industrialization and the production of the post-industrial zero growth society in America, well, this is what we're, you know, this is what's happening. I think it was last week or the week before. The days run together, folks, when you're doing these shows. But, you know, there was a news story that came out where China has now surpassed the United States of America in production. And in industry, too, like 2 years ahead of time. 2 years ahead of when they were expected to do that. Well, so what does that tell you? You see how our growth, our industry is going by the wayside. There aren't any new manufacturing base, or there's not a new manufacturing base being built in this country. It's all being shipped overseas. In the middle of that, they're devaluing our dollar. You know, I mean, you would think that if this country and the, you know, our alleged elected leaders were what they pretended to be, that after something like a 9/11, it would have been important to build the country back up. You know, otherwise, you let the terrorists win. As George Bush would always say, we don't want to let the terrorists win, either with us or against us. Condi, pass that blow here. I mean, you know, I mean, I mean, this is seriously. I mean, you know, that's what you would expect to see. You would expect to see this. But no, what have we seen since 9/11? What have we seen? We've seen more degradation in this country. We've seen this country go downhill. So, you know, by their rationale, if you believe the official story, you believe the official line that the criminal government puts out, let's just say we're talking in their turn for a second. Let's, you know, let's suspend what we know. Let's suspend the truth for a second, shall we? But, you know, let's go from their standpoint of this. You know, well, we have to do all this, otherwise we're going to let the terrorists win. We can't let them win. They're going to defeat us. Well, I mean, if you're going by their explanation, by their side of the story, I would say the terrorists have won. And since we know who the terrorists really are, that's not a stretch to say. You know, whether it be Al-Qaeda, the phony Al-Qaeda, or let's say you believe, let's just say again, let's suspend their disbelief, let's suspend the information and the truth for a second and say that the phony Al-Qaeda that they put out is real. And then also, let's say on this side, you know what's really going on. You know that Al-Qaeda is the government and the intelligence agencies and the Brzezinski-funded and founded groups. Then, you know, if you want to say, well, the terrorists have won. Now, they attacked us on 9/11 to destroy America. That's why they attacked us. That's why they flew the airplanes into buildings. But then, see, on the flip side of that, you can say, well, that's why the criminal elements of the government and the intelligence agencies flew planes into the buildings, is because they wanted to kill this country. So, you know, and I forget who said it. It was one of the great dictators, Stalin or one of them. I can't remember exactly who said this, but one of the great dictators said, you know, basically, you just when you're putting out propaganda, you say that your enemy is doing what you're doing. I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially, and you look at it, and that's what they've done. You know, oh, the terrorists hate us for our freedoms. Well, no. The dual Israeli citizens, the infiltrators, the people at large, the criminals in this government hate our freedoms. They hate us for our freedoms. Or they want, you know, again, they wanted to kill America with these terrorist attacks. No, you wanted to kill America with these terrorist attacks. So again, that ideology that dictators have put down for centuries is a blueprint that these people continue to follow. No, you take whatever you're doing and you superimpose that onto your enemy, and that's how basically how you brainwash the masses. That's, and these people have done that. I mean, that's how you can tell that you have a cult of personality dictator on your hands, because you see what they're doing, but they take that and they superimpose that onto the onto their alleged enemy. You know, this country wants to kill us, and they're trying to bring us all down, and they're all the bad guys. But see, that's really that individual country that's doing it. But yet they're superimposing it on someone else. It's very crafty. Very crafty how they do that. But also, let's get back into the rest of the stated goals here of the Committee of 300. To encourage and eventually legalize the use of drugs and to make pornography an art form, which will be widely accepted and eventually become quite commonplace. Of course, we've seen that through the media, through the culture. You know, this acceptance of all these various things that have always been taboo and slowly moving them into the mainstream. Again, the degradation of society. Once they get us down to these decadent, self-absorbed creatures, folks, it's not hard to really control someone like that. And they've done that effectively. I mean, it's so hard to try to, you know, wake some of these people up from their slumber, because when you've had that much scientific brainwashing for that amount of years, folks, it's hard to just come up with somebody with information and try to get them out of that. I mean, it is almost a deprogramming process. You know, I mean, that's what I call reality reprogramming. I mean, that's really what I call what we do. You know, is reprogramming people into reality. To bring about the depopulation of large cities, according to the trial run carried out by the Pol Pot regime in Cambodia. It's interesting to note that Pol Pot's genocidal plans were drawn up in the U.S. by one of the Club of Rome research foundations and overseen by Thomas Enders, a high-ranking State Department official. It is also interesting that the committee is currently seeking to reinstate the Pol Pot butchers in Cambodia. To suppress all scientific development except for those deemed beneficial by the power structure. Especially targeted is nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. Of course, what do you see happening in Iran? They want to demonize anyone who is coming up with nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. Particularly hated are the fusion experiments currently being scorned and ridiculed by the elite and its jackals of the press. Development of the fusion torch would blow their conception of limited natural resources right out the window. A fusion torch properly used could create unlimited and as yet untapped natural resources, even from the most ordinary substances. Fusion torches uses are legion and would benefit mankind in a manner in which, as yet, is not even remotely comprehended by the public. To cause by means of limited wars in the advanced countries, by means of starvation and diseases in the third world countries, the death of 3 billion people by the year 2050. People they call, quote-unquote, useless eaters. The Committee of 300 commissioned Cyrus Vance to write a paper on this subject of how to bring about such genocide. This paper was produced under the title Global 2000 Report and was accepted and approved for action by former President James Earl Carter and Edwin Muskie, then Secretary of State, for and on behalf of the U.S. government of the terms of the Global 2000 Report. The population of the U.S. is to be reduced by 100 million by the year 2050. And that's what's scary, because, you know, with all of this food crisis and all this going on, but you have to understand that at some point our population is going to be a problem. We'll talk about this on the other side. We're going to get into a lot of it. We'd love to hear from you at 512-646-1984. This is The Global Reality right here on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. Don't go anywhere. of this edition of the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. We welcome you to today's broadcast, and we thank you so much for tuning in to us today for the show. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Right now we're talking about the Committee of 300 and really this, you know, the underlying ideas of the power structure at large. Because these ideas that we're seeing now, I mean, we are seeing this stuff now in this day and age being played out more than it's ever played out for years. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about the ideas of the, of these people doing this for a great many years. But, you know, it's one thing to be talking about it and, you know, sort of as it, you know, well, it's coming or this is what the future holds. It's one thing to be talking about it in those terms. It's a completely different one to be experiencing what we're experiencing right now, which is this stuff, again, being played out right before our very eyes, and that's why this power structure has been set up for eons. I mean, there is no difference, in the people that were in the elite power structure 300 years ago, 400 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, than the people that are in charge now. This same plan, folks, has been put in place. And that would, you know, that would explain to you why these people have taken such great care to only allow certain people from certain families and certain bloodlines to ever enter the power structure. Again, no one of these people ever woke up one morning and said, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to set up global government. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I think I'm going to enslave the population. I think that, you know, having a one world government and one religion would be a great idea. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people tend to think that maybe this idea of, you know, one world government and the one world system came about, you know, recently, over the past 100 or so years since the rise of the Industrial Age. And, folks, that's just not the fact. I mean, the fact is, this plan has been being put in place for decades, and now they're achieving it. And it makes you wonder. And, of course, there is a lot of the evidence there, but it makes you wonder where this, and we know where it's coming from, but this dark ideologies, I mean, where does this disconnect come from? Because these people do have a disconnect from the rest of humanity. I mean, they openly talk about in Club of Rome documents, we'll talk about the Club of Rome coming up later, but I mean, they openly talk about in Club of Rome documents how humanity as a whole is the greatest threat to their plan. And you're sitting here saying, well, okay, and then you read some of these other despot dictators' writings, and they talk about, oh, humans are such, you know, animalistic creatures. They will turn on each other and eat each other and cannibalize each other for their own survival. That's all they care about is their own individual survival. And you're going, no, wait a second. You know, where does this disconnect happen at? Where does this thing where, okay, well, humanity is the biggest threat to our plan. Now, if you're human, wouldn't that mean you're part of humanity? So where does this disconnect come from where they're separate from the rest of us and the rest of humanity, and, oh, those lowly humans will just, you know, they will turn on each other? I mean, how do you get to a point where you're talking like that? There has to come a level where, you know, you're either taken over by dark energy or something like that. I mean, when you look into a lot of the Freemasonic text, and you start figuring out that as you go up through the ranks of the various degrees of Freemasonry, that the phraseology and the words and how they're put together in and of themselves have a great sway over the subconscious mind. That's why they use such heavy symbols, the square and compass. The, you know, the five points are the pentagram. All these symbols, again, that go back to the ancient civilizations of Sumer, Assyria, Babylon. But that's why these strong geometric figures and patterns, this is a scientific fact, have a strong effect on the subconscious mind. And that's part of what we see through the indoctrination, through the brainwashing, the television, Madison Avenue, the Edward Bernays School of creating and programming the ego self to fit the agenda. That's part of the plan. because it's not always so much what we tend to think is what's going on in the conscious realm and what we see going on consciously and put before us. And we can, you know, we can look at a TV screen and we can see Fox News and we know that's propaganda. And we can see that on a conscious level, and we know that we're trying to be programmed and acquiesced into a specific frame of mind. But what's going on in the background? What's going on with these, with the symbols, the phraseology? These are the things that have effects on the subconscious of the human mind. These people have had down to a science for centuries. And again, when you go look into the Freemasonic text, you start to see this thing where as you graduate up the degrees, slowly and slowly, one subconscious starts to be opened up. And once the subconscious is opened up and it's wide open, it's then wide open for control by anyone who can come along and put the specific programming in there. And so they've taken that ideology and they put that into place in the media. Slowly and slowly through the indoctrination, slowly through these various mechanisms, they slowly open up your subconscious until your subconscious is wide open for control and you don't even know it. And then, once your subconscious is wide open, then they start planting in their mechanisms of control into you. And then, boom, they've got you. So let's get back into these ideas of control of the Committee of 300. And again, you know, the idea of population reduction, and that's, you know, that's one of the scary things that we have to be bracing for, is that population reduction is not something anymore that the UN and, you know, the Ford Foundation and some of these other various think tanks, these Rockefeller-led think tanks, have compartmentalized to just the third world anymore. You see, now they're turning us into the third world, which is setting us up for depopulation. I mean, anytime you start seeing the food supply and genetically modified foods and all the stuff that we experience now being presented as the norm, folks, you can bet your bottom dollar you have a depopulation program going on. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, we're talking about the disconnect. This disconnect from society, this disconnect from humanity as a whole. And you've got to, you know, think about the world, think about the earth, think about how you know, and all this NASA stuff where they're trying to, you know, set up off-Earth bases, and they're essentially trying to get off this rock. All of this technology, all these supercomputers, all this information and money being pumped into this stuff, but they don't have plans for us to get off of it. I mentioned the other day that about a month ago I had read a Smithsonian Institute article about, you know, man traveling to other planets and setting up off-planet bases, and it was just striking to me that in a Smithsonian Institute article, at the very end of the article, they would say, it is man will eventually reach their ultimate destiny, which is to live off of the Earth. And that was just so striking to me because, you know, I even went back and did some more research and started looking, so, well, maybe I missed this somewhere. Maybe I missed this. Because in all my research of ancient societies and, you know, philosophy, various philosophies from around the world, religious text, nowhere in any of my research did I ever find anything that even gave the slightest indicator that the destiny of man was to live off of the planet Earth. I never found that, still haven't found that anywhere. But yet, in this Smithsonian Institute article, they plainly stated that man will eventually reach their destiny, and their destiny is to live off the planet Earth. Now, you know, I've always been of the idea that the Earth is, you know, it is the Mother Earth. It's what we came from the Earth. It's what requires us to live. The air that we breathe is here. The water we drink for our survival is here. The food we need for our survival is here. Everything. So this is our home. And so when you look into these, when you're talking about, you know, the Committee of 300, the New World Order at large, they have essentially taken everything that requires life to be sustained, be it air, water, food, all of it, and poisoned it throughout the planet. And you're going, well, you know, you have to breathe this too. Your kids have to breathe this air too and drink this water too. Of course, they have their own, you know, organic water. These Arctic, you know, Arctic seed vaults built in Antarctica, those aren't for us either. This is to make sure they have a stable food supply. But everything that is necessary to sustain human life has been tampered with and poison. So that, you know, again, that's how you know that this idea of depopulation, this idea of eliminating us, is being put in place. I mean, look at what's going on with these chemtrails, folks. And more people are waking up to chemtrails. You know, these discussions are being happening in city halls throughout the country. People are, you know, various news groups are taking this material that they're finding and having it analyzed, finding all, you know, everything from anthrax spores to seven different kinds of cancer, barium, aluminum, all these heavy metals. And, you know, there's stuff we're breathing. Now, we know there's various usages for this. We know that they're using this part in from weather modification. We know they're using the barium in part for the X-band radar system, which, by the way, we just gave to Israel a few weeks ago. And the X-band radar system allows you to have a 3D topographical image of the entire surface of the Earth. They can also combine that to do various, deep core topography and whatnot, which allows them to be able to find oil sources. So this is what you're going to see be the norm. Back to the ideologies of the Committee of 300. To weaken the moral fiber of the nation and to demoralize workers and the labor class by creating mass unemployment. Well, what are we seeing going on right now? And, you know, again, the only numbers that are reported by unemployment, folks, are the people that are drawing unemployment checks. And those are dwindling out, too. So the amount of people that we see now that are employed are way above and beyond the actual reported mainstream news numbers. You know, they always have to say it in this tone, like so to make sure that they get the brainwashing home. This is official. You can believe it. You know, as jobs dwindle due to the post-industrial zero growth policies introduced by the Club of Rome, the report envisaged demoralized and discouraged workers resorting to alcohol and drugs. The youth of the land will be encouraged by means of rock music and drugs to rebel against the status quo, thus undermining and eventually destroying the family unit. And that's key. That is key. Man, is that key. That is so key. It's to, you know, and they've done that over the past 30, 40 years. You know, the type of rebellion that they give the younger generation is through, and believe me, I'm a huge, you know, rock music fan. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's a difference between being a fan of music and falling into this idea and falling into these false rebellions that they get to where, you know, oh, you know, sawed off against the family, mate. You know, I mean, where it's, you know, yeah, forget it. And whereas the true rebellion is what we're doing right here, is empowering people with information to make them strong individuals so that they can't be owned by tyrannical governments. That is the true rebellion. But no, what we're sold and what the youth are sold are these, you know, these phony controlled rebellions. Oh, well, no, being rebellious is, telling your family to go, you know what, themselves and to take drugs. That's rebellion. No. All that does, again, breaks apart the family and makes us more of these subservient, worthless, little materialistic blobs. I mean, that is the best thing that they can have. And again, we don't have to even really go too far into that. We know, and we've seen it all, we've all experienced it, that, destroying the family unit has been, and the Rockefellers have worked on this for decades, and has been really key at the heart of getting people individually to be slaves. In this regard, the committee commissioned Tavistock Institute to prepare a blueprint as to how this could be achieved. Tavistock directed Stanford Research to undertake the work under the direction of Professor Willis Harmon. This work later became known as the Aquarian Conspiracy. To keep people everywhere from deciding their own destinies by means of one created crisis after another, and then managing such crisis, this will confuse and demoralize the population to the extent where faced with too many choices, apathy on a massive scale will result. In the case of the U.S. Agency for Crisis Management, it is already in place. It is called FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and whose existence was first enclosed in the year 1980. Now, again, this information I'm reading from was written in 1991, and it says, to keep people everywhere from deciding their own destinies by means of one created crisis after another, and then managing the crisis, and then confusing and demoralizing the population to the extent where they're faced with too many choices, and apathy on a mass scale was wrong. Well, what have we seen? Think about it. 9/11, boom, then Katrina. Then FEMA coming in and mucking up the whole thing. And what is that? What did that do? Exactly what they're talking about, confusing, demoralizing the population, losing faith in their governmental agencies, and basically creating apathy. And that apathy is also what makes people not interested in the election process of the government at large, and what allows these despot dictators to come in the back door unimpeded. This is what we've seen through dictatorships throughout the world over and over again. And my God, it's so amazing to me that the people in this country cannot see that everything that's gone on in despot dictatorships throughout the world up to this point is happening again before our very eyes, and they won't wake up from it. I mean, it is unbelievable. Take a break, come back. More on the Committee of 300, more on the New World Order at large. Wide open phone lines, 512-646-1984. This is the Global Reality on We the People. Stay with us.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. We welcome you to today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in here with us. This program runs Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 Central Standard Time, right here on We the People Radio Network. I thank everybody for all their kind words and support this week as we've taken on the new time slot here, and it's just a great honor and pleasure to be with you, and you have an opportunity to be able to get out some information, and I just love it, man. I feel like we're finally in a position with all the great voices, you know, throughout the realm and scope of radio, of this type of radio, to, you know, give people so many different levels of information. It's a real exciting time to be involved in this because, you know, there's just so many great people out there putting out so much great information right now that, you know, it really gives you hope that eventually we'll be able to reach a critical mass of awakening. And that's really the goal. You know, and I value every person in this fight and every person that puts it all on the line every single day to make this happen and to make, to make sure that the children and the people that come after us don't have to live in the world that these people, like what we're talking about here with the Committee of 300, and have envisioned for us for decades. And I just salute every single person that does work in this field. All of you, the listeners combined, I mean, everybody. I mean, it's really the most important thing that you can do. And that's why everybody needs to get involved and do something, anything. You know, I say it all the time, but it really is the truth. Anything you can do has an effect, whether you're a songwriter, whether you're a poet or an artist, or you build websites or you're a graphic designer, it doesn't matter. But the most important thing is that you're doing something that is getting out information. And the more people we have to do it, the better chance we're going to have. And that's really just that's really the bottom line of it. But I want to continue this, and we're going to continue this sort of theme today on the show. We're talking about these various ideologies of the Committee of 300, and really the what we've seen occur, and how we're seeing more and more of this happen today. In this day and age, and before the break, we were talking about this, you know, how they had talked about creating, you know, deciding to keep people every day from deciding their own destinies by means of one created crisis after another. Which means, you know, you and then demoralizing the population to where you have apathy on a mass scale. And that's what we've seen. People have become apathetic to everything. I mean, even now when you see, you know, great death and destruction and or, you know, these weather events where thousands of people die, tsunamis, earthquakes. You know, even you're, you know, you people like us, you know, we're concerned with it because we're concerned with whether or not some of this stuff is being engineered or not. Because we know they have the technology and the capabilities to do this, so we have to have our eyes open and watching all this stuff at all time. But you know, the population at large, I mean, every time one of these things happen, I'll talk to somebody, you know, just a John Q. Citizen or something, and I'll just try to gauge their reaction. I'll be like, hey, did you hear about that earthquake? All those thousand people died? Yeah, I did. That's a bummer. Hey, you know, the Cowboys are playing the Redskins this week. So it's immediately back to a bread and circus conversation. I mean, every time. I mean, immediately you're back. I mean, they give you about, I don't know, 1.5 or 2.5 seconds of acknowledgement. You know, they give you 1.5 or 2.5 seconds of acknowledgement report. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, that's a bummer. And then it's back on to, hey, did you catch that game last night? Or so-and-so got traded to so-and-so team. Hey, did you see that? And it just makes me want to choke people. It just makes me want to shake them. Ugh! I cannot stand it. You know, it's like, do you have any idea what is going on around you? No, you don't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be obsessed with what player got traded to what team. And they have no idea that this stuff has been put in place to keep them distracted, to keep them from ever looking at this. But then, you're the weirdo. You know, you notice that? You're the one that's the weirdo for bringing this stuff up. But we're going to get more back into these ideologies here of the Committee of 300 and really the power structure at large here in just a moment. Well, we do have a phone call, and Richard in Texas, I believe this is Richard Rees, my good buddy Richard Rees. Richard, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is not Richard Rees.
Okay.
But it is Richard. I assume it's me that you've got here. Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, I just you were commenting about the weather manipulations and earthquakes and that sort of thing, and I just wanted to point out that turning on the weather this morning, noticed how Tropical Storm Fay actually formed an eye after it was over land, which, you know, was absolutely extraordinary. And this follows after having read a thing on the web yesterday suggesting that Jim Cantore on the Weather Channel is actually, you know, a CIA type or, you know, joined in with these weather manipulations things. And he's always the one on the scene when something extraordinary like that happens. And, of course, he was the one reporting on it this morning. But, you know, the whole thing about Fay is pretty weird how it's done, how it's, you know, gone through its cycles and that sort of thing. But the fact that it forms an eye over land when there hadn't been an eye previously is pretty amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that is. And I did not see that, Richard, but I'm glad you pointed that out to me. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you can always notice, you know, depending on where you live, and you'll see here in Texas, I mean, every time previously to there being one of these events, you'll hear, okay, there's a tropical storm forming or something. If you go outside and you look, you'll notice there being these, you know, strange kind of wispy, chemtrail-y-looking clouds coming over where you live. You'll notice everybody starts having respiratory problems. And I noticed that before Katrina and Rita, everybody I know started getting sick with all these respiratory problems in the middle of the summer, you know, August, September, and whatnot. And so you start to get this idea, and you start to see these patterns. And again, I think the proof is in the patterns. You start to see that right before something big happens, you can tell that there's massive weather modification operations going on. And they've talked about this. I mean, they've talked about, you know, weather as a force multiplier. You've had these various FEMA drills going on where they're preparing for a simultaneous, you know, biological and nuclear attack combined with a massive weather event. So, you know, I mean, you can't help but think that, you know, everybody's like, well, what are they going to do? Is it going to be a suitcase nuke? Is it going to be a biological, you know, what is going to be the next thing? And I think it's all the above, Richard. I mean, I think they're going to have to launch everything they can all at once to be able to bring this country down.
Yeah, well, they've certainly been moving that direction from all appearances. And, you know, the other thing with the weather observations that you can see either on radar sites or by your own observations in the sky is the use of scalar weapons, where you see those clouds line up in formation, you know, in zigzag lines and all that goofy stuff. And, you know, I live not far from Austin and see that stuff happening frequently. I had one experience I'd like to relate regarding the weather and chemtrails. And this happened about probably a year ago. I was driving all the way from North Austin home, and for my entire drive, probably a third of the way across the sky from the sun, one of those artificial chemtrail clouds, there was this huge rainbow spot. It must have taken up, you know, a tenth of the sky or something like that. There was absolutely no way you could miss it. There was no way it was tied into any typical rainbow type event or any of that. The sun was high in the sky and there were no rain clouds around. And this thing stood in the sky for my entire drive home. And so we're talking, the better part of an hour. And, you know, it never made any news. I never noticed anybody paying attention to it, you know, and it was a phenomenal thing.
Yeah, I've seen those many times. You know, we call them Kimbos or Kim Dogs. Yeah, that's basically, it's like oil and water. Yeah, and this, you know, that's a big indicator there are chemicals in the atmosphere mixing on that. Richard, I appreciate your call. We got to take a break, come back. We're going to talk about more about the Comedia 300 and your phone calls, 512-646-1984. This is the Global Reality. Stay with us. All right, back here on the Global Reality, right here on We the People Radio Network on this Wednesday edition of the broadcast. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about and get into on the duration of the show. We're going to get into some news later on the broadcast, probably do a big final segment news blitz for you today where we hit a ton of news. That's what we like to do here. Some days we'll do topics and we'll do a whole show on various topics. Other days we'll do shows with whole news, and other days we'll have guests. It's just one of those things where I like to mix it up and not really have it be the same show every day. And your participation is much appreciated at 512-646-1984, and we'll get you on the air during any part of the show today. I want to continue here on with what I was talking about, these ideologies of the Comedia 300 and how the power structure at large is executing these ideologies for control. Because it's really at the heart of what we experience. To introduce new cults and continue to boost these already functioning, which include rock music gangsters such as Rolling Stones, and the Tavistock created rock groups, which began with the Beatles. And that's, you know, I got to tell you, when that was one of the things that was kind of crushing for a lot of people, having to wake up and figure out that, you know, things like the Beatles were these, you know, British intelligence and created groups and things that, you know, look into the Dionysus cults, the cult of Dionysus, and how the cult of Dionysus, all these various cults, you have the Saturnian cults, with the, you know, the worship of the planet Saturn. And this is where, you know, where a lot of your, you know, certain religions worship on Saturn's day, on Saturday. You have, you know, the lunar cults, worship of the moon. Then you have your solar cults. And you also have the cult of Dionysus. And this is where these, like, you know, artists, musicians, and whatnot are predominantly brought up through the ranks. A lot of times they don't even know that they're of specific bloodlines. They're chosen and put out basically as worship, and then a lot of times subsequently sacrificed. And then, of course, you know, they have the sort of behind the music rags to riches story that they put out on these people. But this is how they do. The cult of personality is pervasive not only in the realm and scope of the political movements, and they get behind cults of personality not only to convince the population that the revolution and the change that they are looking for is within this specific person, but they also do it in the realm and scope of popular culture, rock groups and whatnot, and they get people behind these, basically these figures that you know, are seen as messianic. Now, let me read you, now, think about this. And I want you to think about this in terms of what we see with the culture, with musicians, artists, and also with political figures such as Barack Obama. Generally, personality cults are most common in regimes with totalitarian systems of government that seek to radically alter or transform society according to revolutionary new ideas. Often a single leader becomes associated with this revolutionary transformation and comes to be treated as a benevolent guide for the nation, without whom the transformation to a better future cannot occur. Now you see that. Now that's all pervasive, isn't it, folks? I mean, think about that and transpose that onto what we've seen behind the Barack Obama campaign. A single leader becomes associated with this revolutionary transformation and becomes to be treated as a benevolent guide for the nation without whom the transformation to a better future cannot occur. This has generally been the justification for personality cults that arose in totalitarian societies of the 20th century, such as those of Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler. And so that's the same thing where, you know, you see these musicians and rock stars and movie stars and whatnot. They're put on high levels of pedestals where people are blindly led to follow them, and then, you know, some big thing happens where there's a death or something, and then it lets people down. But this is part of it, is to keep people obsessed with this, you know, this mindless hero worship. And people fall into those traps because that's what they're accustomed to, because that's what they've been programmed to be the accepted norm, hero worship, whether it's the hero worship of a football star, and I just can't imagine. That to me is just the lowest common denominator, isn't it? I mean, I just cannot imagine anything more pathetic than someone who puts someone like one of these gladiatorial distraction football stars on a pedestal and sees them as, you know, as some sort of hero. But that's one of the key things, and that's one of the things that I think everybody needs to be aware of, is how pervasive the cult of personality is and how important it is to keep people in a box and keep people from ever breaking out and becoming individuals empowered with information. Because no movement or no group or no amount of group following one leader or anything else is a threat. It's just like, you know, the atheist. The atheist is no more of a threat to the power structure than someone who is a blind follower of a specific religion. You see? That's one thing that I try to get over to people is the fact that, you know, look, I mean, religion is the problem. Your own personal spirituality and what you find within yourself, that's your own personal thing that you don't have to share with anybody else, is really the most important thing. But, you know, I mean, it's just so funny to me to see, you know, atheists slamming, you know, Christians. And, yeah, Christians have been led down a phony path, and they haven't been... there is a priest class that's hiding a lot of the truth about Christianity from the masses. Of course they are. They have for centuries. The Vatican's been at the forefront of that for centuries, leaving parts out, you know, misinterpreting, not giving us the context. And to me, that's the main thing. I mean, if we could ever find out these things that have been hidden from Christianity and get that into the hands of people that aren't, you know, basically cult members and these evangelical Christian Zionists, you know, that may be what the true future for what Christianity could be. But it's just funny to me to see, you know, atheists and whatnot slam Christians, but yet they don't realize that they're no more of a threat to the power structure. The most significant threat to the power structure is finding out who has taken these religions and manipulated them and what it is that they're hiding under the cover of the control mechanism. That's really it. To continue to build up the cult of Christian fundamentalism, begun by the British East India Company servant Darby, which will be misused to strengthen the Zionist state of Israel by identifying with the Jews through the myth of God's chosen people, and by donating very substantial amounts of money to what they mistakenly believe is a religious cause in the furtherance of Christianity. That's what we've seen as well. You know, that's how Israel has been able to get their dominance across, by misinterpreting the Bible into, oh, that's the land of God's chosen people, and the people that are there are not that. But that's how they've set this up. And, of course, that we know that the whole idea of Zionism and the phony state of Israel was set up by the Central European bankers, the Rothschilds. And this was one of the first ideologies that came about in 1776 when they funded their Jesuit infiltrator, Adam Weishaupt, to infiltrate the Masonic lodges for the secret knowledge pertaining to King Solomon and the Goetia and the Hermetic Seal of Solomon. That's what the quote-unquote Star of David actually is, folks. It's the Hermetic Seal of Solomon. And King Solomon was said to have had this book of spells and incantations called the Goetia, which he used to allegedly be able to control demons and angels with at will for the control of humanity. And in 1776, the Rothschilds, the Central European bankers, got their hands on this information. They've had it ever since. And this is why we've seen the compartmentalization of knowledge. And this is where we've seen, you know, what originally was set up to be sort of the stewards of humanity. And that's the thing, is, you know, Freemasonry and the secret societies, they aren't inherently evil by nature, folks. It's evil people who had the power and the money throughout the world were able to get their hands on these groups and get their hands on this knowledge and enslave humanity through it. Because, again, I've said this a million times, and I'll say it a million more times. If you actually go and read the Masonic text for yourself, you'll find out that, you know, this isn't necessarily evil talk here. They don't, you know, they don't say that this is for the evil enslavement of mankind. We are evil devil worshipers. Of course, when you go forward in time to the late 1800s with Albert Pike, you know, he was talking about, you know, the worship of Sirius and Luciferianism and stuff. But before that, in the ancient Freemason text, prior to the infiltration in 1776, with the formation of the Illuminati through the Rothschild funding, there, you know, there wasn't this indicator that this stuff was supposed to be used for enslavement. It was really just information that could empower humanity or enslave them. And so we see these dualistic natures in everything in the universe and on Earth. Everything has a double-edged sword, just like technology. Technology can be used to, you know, empower humans, or it can be used to enslave us. It just depends on whose hands and the application it falls into. More information, more talk on the other side of the break, right here on the We the People Radio Network on the Global Reality. I am your host, Josh Reeves. Don't go anywhere.
The freedom message.
Waking up people everywhere.
I'm Ron Paul, and you're listening to We the People Radio Network.
Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. I want to welcome everybody to the show, and thank you for tuning in with us today here on the broadcast. And I'm really enjoying the show today because, you know, sometimes you get so wrapped up in the news and you get so, you know, you read all this stuff sometimes and it's like, oh my gosh, I mean, it's the same stuff every single day. More of it, you know, more gloom and doom, more of them crashing the economy, you know, more of these wars of genocide, more people getting tasered 19 times for jaywalking, or more UFO indoctrination with them trying to convince us that UFOs and there's an alien invasion going on and all this stuff. It's just, oh man, sometimes eventually it just becomes more and more the same every single day. So that's why, you know, that's one of the things that has always been a real staple of my show is to go back and go deeper into the information and break down what it is we're dealing with. So I really, really enjoy doing that today. We do have wide open phone lines at 512-646-1984. If you'd like to put anything on the record today on the show, that is the number. We'd love to hear from you also today. And again, we're talking about the Committee of 300, and this is, you know, if you don't know what the Committee of 300 is, do a little research on them on yourselves and find out. But it's important to go in and look at their ideologies and then reference that with what we've seen, when what we're seeing happen right now in the news. And so that's where we're going. So we're going to talk about quite a few topics on the duration of the show today and really get into the backstory and the ideology of the people that are in control. To continue to build the cult... Well, I already read that one. To press for the spread of religious cults such as the Muslim Brotherhood, Muslim fundamentalism, the Sikhs, and to carry out mind control experiments of the Jim Jones and Son of Sam type, it is worth noting the late Khomeini was a creation of the British Military Intelligence Division 6, MI6. This detailed work spelled out step-by-step process which the U.S. government implemented to put Khomeini into power. To export religious liberation ideas around the world so as to undermine all existing religions, but more especially the Christian religion. This began with the Jesuit liberation theology that brought an end to the Somoza family rule in Nicaragua, which today is destroying El Salvador now, 25 years later, after the Civil War. And this is what we've seen, that we've seen this with the Latin American death squads that have been led by some of these people under the Reagan regime, people that are considered, you know, quote-unquote patriots, people like Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts and whatnot, Center for International Studies, that those groups were involved in, and that's essentially what they did. And there's a what is the name of this place? It's a publishing company here in Dallas, Texas. I'm going to go shoot video for it for my film, The Secret Ride, I'm working on. It's called the National Linguistic Center, and essentially this was a Rockefeller funded group. And what they do is they print Bibles that contain information that fit the agenda of the evangelical right, specifically, you know, with the end times revelations. Then, in the 1980s, they would go down through these various death squads, right here, as we're talking about with, you know, the Jesuit liberation theology and the Somoza family and the rule of Nicaragua. They would go down and essentially spread Christianity at the barrel of a gun. And these people were responsible for going down in, I guess it was the 1930s or 1940s, I can't remember. I've got some high-def footage from PBS that's going to be in my film where it talks about this, where they went down, these same groups, these same people went down to the Mayan culture and stripped the Mayan, the native Mayan people of their ancient language, took that away from them, and you know, basically taught them how to write in English, taking away that and supplanting their native culture with Christianity. At the barrel of a gun, those who wouldn't take it got eliminated, folks. And this is the same stuff that we see going on in the Middle East, we see going on all over the world. And that's why I've dubbed it the Crusades 2.0. It is a modern-day version of the Crusades. You will take Christianity at the barrel of a gun, or you will get death. And, you know, why was it important to go do that in the Mayan culture? Well, you know, you look into what they had, the information they had, and you look at how their calendar has only been bettered by our modern-day supercomputers by something like 17 seconds or something like that. I think it's been the biggest improvement that modern-day supercomputers have made upon the Mayan calendar. So, you know, you see all this information and all this, you know, you're wondering, where did they get this from? They talk about the sky gods, the ones that came down from above and gave them this information. So there has been a very carefully crafted genocide against cultures where this type of ancient information has been held. Look at what they've done and what they continue to do to the Aborigines in Australia. I've had several stories that I reported on this year of them in giving Aboriginal people injections with all sorts of viruses and whatnot. And you say to yourself, well, why would they want to wipe out the Aborigines? You know, what have they done? Well, go look into what the Aborigines do once a year and have done since the dawn of time, ladies and gentlemen. They go on this trek once a year to these caves, and they paint these creatures on these caves called the Wangina. They call them the Wangina creator spirits. And they're these big-headed creatures with big eyes that they say are their gods and the ones who created them. And the elders and the ones that are specifically being targeted with these various viruses, smallpox and whatnot, I mean, this is mainstream Australian news reported on this. And I'll go back in the Wayback Machine when we come up on the next break, and I'll go see if I can find some more of those stories and bring them up and talk about them. But, you know, you go look into their culture. Their elders and their young people specifically are being targeted. So, you know, all over the world, folks, the cultures that have ancient knowledge are being, and have been for centuries, being eliminated. Look at what they did to the American Indians. And every time I call them American Indians, someone gets mad and starts raising, no, don't call them Indians! That's what Christopher Columbus called them. But look, I'm just using nomenclature that people can identify with, okay? So don't start getting all mad because I called them, American Indians. I'm using nomenclature. Native Americans. Native people who were here before the white man came. Is that better? I just, every time I say it, somebody gets some panties in a bunch. I love it because that's what you see. People want to get mad about semantics, or you'll say, you'll say some word, and they'll say, that's not a word in English. They get mad, but they can't challenge you on the information. You know, it's just so funny. That's what people are so obsessed with. But, well, I mean, same thing. You know, the blankets they gave them that had smallpox with, that was one of the first examples of biological warfare. So, you know, there's all these voluminous examples throughout history of the cultures that have had ancient knowledge that the power structure did not want the public at large to get their hands on, and these were always the populations that were set for elimination. Costa Rica and Honduras were embroiled in revolutionary activities instigated by the Vatican and the various control mechanisms of the religious controllers. One very active entity engaged in the so-called liberation theology is the communist-oriented Mary Knoll mission. This accounts for the extensive media attention to the murder of four Mary Knoll so-called nuns in El Salvador. The four nuns were communist subversive agents, and their activities were widely documented by the government of El Salvador. The U.S. press and the new media refused to give any space or coverage to the mass documentation possessed by the Salvadorian government, which proved what the Mary Knoll mission nuns were doing in the country. Mary Knoll is in service in many countries and played a leading role in bringing communism to Rhodesia, Angola, and South Africa. Another one of the stated goals of the Committee of 300 is to cause a total collapse of the world's economies and engender total political chaos. That's a key one. Because, you know, if you want to talk about what we're seeing happening in this day and age, that is what we're seeing. Total collapse of world economies and engender of total political chaos. We had the resign of Pervez Musharraf in Pakistan this week. We've had all these despot dictators running amok. All these cult of personality people everywhere. We've seen the financial markets collapsing, the housing crisis, the devaluation of the U.S. dollar, moving of the trading of oil into rubles now. Again, as I stated earlier in the show, this is what you're going to see, the pretext for them to sell you and the American public at large on why we need to merge the dollar with the euro. You see, they're going to say, gas prices are going through the roof, and the only way that we can combat this and to bring the oil prices back down, because the world reserve currency for oil trading now is rubles, is to merge our currencies with the euro so that there's a stronger reserve currency so we can battle this new Eastern Bloc of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is about vying for their control of the world's resources. And it does not matter. I mean, that to me is the main thing that we need to concentrate on, because everybody is the mainstream media is wrong. Russia didn't attack Georgia. Georgia attacked Russia. And then the alternative media is saying, no, the mainstream media are lying. Georgia attacked Russia. And they basically are giving Russia a pass. And we just need to focus on the fact that the bankers at large and the people that fund both sides are the ones that benefit. More news, more information, a whole lot more talking about coming about in the third hour of today's broadcast on the Global Reality of We the People. Stay with us.
The war is over and we won it. Let's remember how we done it so we don't have to do it again. Peaceful solution called the peace revolution. Now let's take back America. Now let's take back America. Now let's take back America.
third hour of the Global Reality on this Wednesday edition of the show right here on the We the People radio network. 512-646-1984 is the number if you'd like to join us on the last hour of the broadcast. And we're going to hammer home a lot of information here in this last hour. You know, I really have enjoyed this show and been able to cover all the bases today on the broadcast. And because, you know, again, there's just, I mean, this news is just so out of control. And you know, I mean, I could get up here for 3 hours. And of course, we'll do shows that are all news. Some days we'll do that. But, you know, I mean, to just get up here for 3 hours, essentially, folks, and hammer home news and just sit here and say, okay, look, you know, more of the same. I just, it wasn't feeling doing that today. So, you know, I think it's important to go through the mechanisms of what we've seen these people put in place. So we were talking here about the Committee of 300 right now today, and, you know, to cause a total collapse of the world's economies and engender total political chaos, we're seeing that happening. And there's been all sorts of talk of, you know, we've had these mainstream news sources that came out and say Al-Qaeda may be planning an attack before the election season. And then, you know, that's the big headline. That's what they splash it with. And, of course, that, you know, that initiates the trauma-based mind control system yet again. But then you read down into the article. If you actually take the time to read the article, you read down in it and it says, well, Homeland Security and the Defense Department and the intelligence agencies really don't have any information on specific threats. We don't have any information on specific threats, but just know that Al-Qaeda is planning to attack us during the elections. I mean, because it doesn't matter what the article says, because your average dumbed-down American just reads that headline and says, well, that, you know, here we go. There it is. They're planning to attack us, and that gets put out, and then people start talking about it at the water cooler, and you see that's how nasty little rumors and how fear gets spread. Because the caveat of, well, the intelligence communities don't really have any specific information on attacks, but you just need to know that Al-Qaeda is threatening. And then you have Intel Center making all these phony videos, and you're going to see more of that. I'm still not convinced they're not going to roll out, thaw out is more the appropriate term. I think they got Bin Laden on ice somewhere. I think they have since he was on kidney dialysis in Dubai after 9/11 when he died. I think they've had him on ice since then. But I still think before Bush leaves office, they're going to thaw him out, roll him out, and basically, you know, trot out, oh, well, now, because, you know, you're seeing these new threats come up. Now you're seeing, oh, Russia is now the big new threat. You're seeing that propagate. So I think the possibility of them rolling out the frozen Bin Laden corpse before Bush leaves office is still a real possibility. I've been thinking that for a couple of years now. And another one of the stated goals of the Committee of 300 is to take control of all foreign and domestic policies of the U.S. Now, they've successfully done that through the dual Israeli citizens. They've done that for decades with the Rockefeller frontman Henry Kissinger, but, you know, think about what they've done with the neoconservative movement and the people that were 100% responsible for being able to bring about an event like 9/11. Wolfowitz, Pearl, Michael Chertoff, all of these dual Israeli citizens have been 100% working on behalf of the Committee of 300 to take control of all foreign and domestic policies. You know, I mean, when you see this, all these you know, news items, Iran, bombing Iran, we need to bomb Iran, they want to wipe Israel off the map. And all this fear-mongering going, and then all of a sudden, you know, we have Associated Press articles that come out where the Pentagon says, they've openly stated a few weeks ago that they're being pushed into the situation with Iran. I mean, yeah, into by Israel. They've openly stated that. And then you have Defense Secretary Gates coming out and saying, you know, it's not in the best interest of the United States to bomb Iran. But then you have Condoleezza Rice come out also and say, well, Israel needs to decide for itself what to do in Iran. But then you have Michael Chertoff come out and say, no, Iran is definitely a big threat, and we definitely have to deal with them. We cannot let them go nuclear. And so it's funny how you see someone who is a dual Israeli citizen who is the head of Homeland Security, saying, no, they're definitely a threat. We have to be vigilant and stay the course as far as dealing with Iran. And then yet, Defense Secretary Gates, who's not a dual Israeli citizen, and Condoleezza Rice, who's not a dual Israeli citizen, certainly they have allegiances to Israel because, you know, they work for the bankers. But, you know, you start to see these power struggle going on where the people in this government that pay their allegiances to the phony state of Israel are the ones that are pushing for this idea. Meanwhile, you have high-level Pentagon people saying that's not in their best interest. And you have, you know, generals quitting. You have high-level Air Force officers quitting. And there's definitely a power struggle going on within the structures of the military and everything else, because I think a lot of people are waking up and starting to figure out that, you know, this isn't the military they signed up for. You know, defending the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, does not fall into the guise of bombing a country that is creating nuclear power for peaceful purposes. And I think that a lot of, you know, good, well-meaning men and women in the United States military are starting to wake up to the criminal elements that have taken over. And that's a good thing. Those are the type of people that we need on our side. I mean, I salute all of our troops. I mean, whether or not they you know, are they woken up. I think the fact that Ron Paul got the largest amount of money from in-service and veterans, you know, is a real testament to the fact that even people that are serving realize that what is going on and what they're having to watch their friends and family die over is not what they were told they were charged to do. And that's going to be important. We see more of that. Those are the type of people, and I can't stress enough how much I salute our men and women in the armed services. And I don't, you know, I don't hold anything against, I mean, these are well-meaning individuals, folks, that love their country and just have fell into the brainwashed system. You know, and they prey on a lot of these people, and of course they indoctrinate people through the video game, through the kill, kill, kill society. But you're going to have that. You're going to have those. But, you know, the men and women of the armed forces, I think, are some of the most important people we can work towards waking up. And I think they need to know that there is that element of sort of the leftist, you know, communist, anarchist sort of end that, you know, is just about bring down America and we want our agenda. But I think they also need to know that there are some of us like us here that do Patriot Radio that are not on board with that ideology. We care about the troops. We just want them home. We want them awake to this stuff. You know, that's why we're up here talking about it, because we want our troops used when there is a significant threat, when there is a country, when there is an open threat, when there are people that, you know, say that they want to kill us or they want to invade us or they're taking over America. I mean, much like we see through the Ford Foundation of what they've done with the indoctrination of the citizens of Mexico, through the La Raza movements that a lot of these people are tied to. And that to me is the important thing of getting this information out to people that are going to be on our side, that are in the armed forces, military, law enforcement, etc. And people are going to start waking up more and more, because as more and more people are told to do things that don't fall into their belief structure, you're going to start to see them, you know, start to revolt. And I think this is when we're going to have a significant amount of people on our side that can truly affect change, not just talk about. Another ideology of the Committee of 300 is to give the full support to supranational institutions such as the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Court, and as far as possible, make local institutions less effective by gradually phasing them out and bringing them under the mantle of the UN. Now, that, you know, you start to see more state power being taken away. You start to see more of this. This is what, to me, Homeland Security and the Patriot Act really effectively did. You know, this is why thought crimes legislation and all this stuff that's been enacted has been there. It really has been a pretext to take the law enforcement powers out of the hands of local and state governments and put them into hands of the national government. Okay, you know, you have a local person here that commits a thought crime. Well, no longer will they be tried or prosecuted under local or state laws. Oh, no. Now that's a federal crime. You'll go before the world court, in the world kangaroo court, and be tried for your crime. to penetrate and subvert all governments and work from within to destroy the sovereign integrity of nations represented by it. And again, we hit that earlier because that's what they've done with these dual Israeli citizens. They've penetrated and they've worked from the inside to destroy sovereign nations. I mean, folks, we had Mossad has had agents over here training on how to run our nuclear power plants. Admittedly, I mean, what is that? But yet, we're supposed to believe that the phony Al-Qaeda boogeyman that under our bed wants to kill us. And yet, we have Mossad and Israeli citizens over here training on our nuclear power labs. We've got British troops training on city street grids in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Give me a break. To organize a worldwide terrorist apparatus and to negotiate with terrorists whenever terrorist activity takes place, it will be recalled that it was Benito Craxi who persuaded the Italian and U.S. governments to negotiate with the Red Brigade's kidnappers of Prime Minister Moro and General Dozier. As an aside, Dozier was placed under strict orders not to talk about what happened to him. Should he ever break that silence, he will no doubt be made a horrible example of in the manner in which Henry Kissinger dealt with Aldo Moro, Ali Bhutto, and General Zia Earl Hopp. And all these people that spoke out, of course, Ali Bhutto was the relation of Benazir Bhutto. To take control of the education of America with the intent and purpose of utterly destroying it. By 1993, the full force effect of this policy is becoming apparent. It will even be more destructive as primary and secondary schools begin to teach outcome-based education. And that is what we've seen. I mean, more and more and more. I remember, in the sort of that area, 1993 or so, into the mid-1990s when I was first getting out of high school, right in the middle. I started reading about this kind of stuff probably in about 1993, 1994. That's when I first read Crossfire by Jim Mars, and that's really what spawned me on finding out about secrecy in government, black operations, think tanks, secret societies, the people that really pulled the strings to make the world events happen, to affect politics as they saw fit. That's really what got me in. And then I started finding out, all these things. I really found out things sporadically. Government secrecy, secret societies, Bilderberg Group. I found about all these things individually. And it wasn't until, right around 9/11 and right very shortly after 9/11 when I started putting together the pieces and finding out that all of these groups that I'd found about individually through years of research were all in this gigantic umbrella organization together to set up world government. That was, that was groundbreaking to me. That was completely paradigm shifting because you reach that point where you're going, wait a second. I found out about this group. I found out about the Bilderberg Group. I found out about black operations. I found out about the Federal Reserve. And you start to find out that all of these people being, involved in this together is what has allowed this to take place. And what they've done with the education system and the government training camps has been unbelievable. And what we've seen more and more, with the tracking and tracing. I remember when my sister was in high school, and they made her wear these RFID dog tag things around their neck where they can track and trace them. I remember telling people about that, you're a kook. Well, I'm a kook. Well, why don't you go read? They admittedly say that they can track and trace the students everywhere they go while wearing these things. And that's the thing. And it really didn't have anything to do, still doesn't have anything to do, with wanting to know or really tracking and tracing the kids so much as it is, again, this idea of social conditioning and this getting young kids at an early age. Then they did it to first starting high school. Then they did it to junior high kids. Now they're doing it to kids in all ages. And they want to get kids used to wearing a dog tag. They want to get kids used to wearing something that tracks and traces it. And by the time these kids that are in elementary school now, by the time they get into high school and graduate, they'll already be accustomed to cops in black uniforms walking around schools with taser guns. And if you get a line, you'll get hit with a cattle prod. Thank God that school up in Pennsylvania was smart enough to ban cops with tasers in the schools when they were trying to do that. We covered that yesterday. And finally they got that out and they said no to that because that's what it is. That's what it is. They've taken it beyond. It used to be okay, they would just indoctrinate the kids with the information. They would just tell, supplant the information into the minds of the kids to follow the official story in line and make them good citizens of the Reich. Well, it's beyond that now. And now they've reached the point where not only do they want to entrain their minds with the information, but they also want to get them conditioned to things like, you know, again, Darth Vader cops and black ski masks with cattle prods, having an identification card that tracks and traces you ever go. That way, by the time they graduate, oh, it's no big deal. I know it's no big deal. I've heard people say that. I've had friends and whatnot that have talked about going overseas and gotten passports. And I'm saying, you know, that has RFID in it, right? You know, they can track and trace you everywhere you go. And they're like, oh, I don't mind that. I don't think that's too big of a deal. I don't care. I think it's good. That way, if I get lost or something, they know where I'm at. Lost? How are you going to get lost, man? Put that thing in the microwave or smash it with a hammer if you got a passport, okay? That's all I can say. More news, more information, more topics on the other side. 512-646-1984. This is the Global Reality on We the People. Stay with us. On the Global Reality on We the Radio Network. Find out of the broadcast. 512-646-1984 is the number if you'd like to join us during any part of the final hour here. We're going to get into some more information, a lot of news, some breaking news coming out of Pakistan here. Missile strike reported in northwest Pakistan. Witnesses heard U.S. drone aircraft just before the blast. Now, that's interesting. Pakistani officials say missiles had struck a suspected militant hideout near the Afghan border. The Associated Press reports three intelligence officials told the Associated Press that the missiles destroyed a compound near Wana, the main town in the South Waristan tribal region, on Wednesday evening. Two of the officials said initial reports indicated that several people were killed. The third official said foreign militants were known to frequent the compound. All three officials spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak to the media. Pakistan Army President Major General Athar Abbas confirmed there was an explosion in that area, but had no further details. Officials tell the AFP that the missiles came from Afghanistan. And this is the AFP report. Missiles fired from Afghanistan hit a militant hideout in Pakistani's tribal belt Wednesday, killing at least eight people, including some foreign extremists, security officials said. The strike in the South Waristan region was the first since the key U.S. ally Pervez Musharraf resigned as president on Monday and left Pakistan's recently elected government in charge of tackling the militants. Two missiles hit a house owned by a local tribesman with links to Islamic militants in Wana, the main town in South Waristan, a known haven for al-Qaeda and Taliban rebels, the officials said. It was a known hideout for militants. At least eight people were killed, and some foreign militants are among them, one security official told the AFP, again, on condition of anonymity. The missiles came from Afghanistan, the official said. Residents said the owner of the house, named as Haji Yaqub, was wounded and was pulled from the rubble, but people were scared to stay in the area because aircraft were flying overhead. Arabs often stayed with him, one resident said. Pakistani authorities used the term foreigners to describe al-Qaeda militants. Security officials said there were no immediate indicators that senior al-Qaeda rebels were killed in the latest strike. There has been a series of missile strikes on militants in Pakistan in recent weeks, attributed to U.S.-led coalition forces of the Central Intelligence Agency drones based in Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda chemical and biological weapons expert Midit Mirsiri Al-Sirad Umar was killed in a similar missile attack in July. I mean, how many times did they say that guy was killed? I mean, dozens. The Egyptian 54, also known as Abu Kabab al-Masari, had a $5 million bounty on his head. Pakistan has come under mounting international pressure to clamp down on militants in the rugged tribal belt who were accused of launching attacks on U.S.-led and NATO troops in Afghanistan. U.S. missile strikes have been intensified this year, and reports in the U.S. media have said that Washington is considering a further boost in operations, possibly including hot pursuit raids by ground forces. A suspected U.S. missile strike on an Islamic training camp in South Waristan a week ago killed at least 10 militants. So this is the interesting part. Witnesses heard a drone aircraft before the blast. And they're saying that a lot of people heard and saw U.S. drones. Now, we know they've had these Global Hawks and whatnot in place there, but interesting that this would come right on the heels of Pervez Musharraf resigning. So let's go to the phone lines right now. This is the Global Reality. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Josh. This is Alex in Florida.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
All right. So what do you think about Brett Favre getting traded to the Jets?
Oh, man, you had to go there, didn't you?
You know me.
I liked you, Alex. You know, I liked you. You've been a great listener to my show, man, for a long time, ever since I started. But I tell you, you know, I'm going to have to let you go, dude. You bring that up. What's going on?
Well, you brought up the 300, the Committee of 300 today, and what we talked about last week when I brought up the 3,000 number, you bring up another interesting number now, the 300, right? You know, you got this Committee of 300, you go back to the 300 Spartans, and you go back to the back to Samaria again, where we have the 300 Anunnaki who come and, you know, establish their right to rule over us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, that's that number is very key. In the integers, you know, again, that stuff that you sent me were all these, you know, different examples of 3,000. I mean, this stuff is just absolutely voluminous. Yeah, I plan on doing some more research and get some more of that out. But, yeah, that is an interesting correlation.
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to believe that 300 Spartans somehow stood up to an entire Persian army of over a million. At first it was over a million. Now scholars are saying, well, it was 250,000 and the 300 Spartans had some help. Whatever. You know, now we all know that history is kind of suspect, and it becomes more suspect this time because we start seeing these repeating patterns, you know, what Carl Jung called synchronicity or what a lot of, especially in the blogosphere right now, a lot of people are looking at synchromysticism, which is trying to establish relationships between things that aren't necessarily connected. But you find a lot of good information out that way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's the main thing about it is that there's just so many levels to what you see with what their people do. I mean, the correlations between what is said, and that's been kind of the theme of today has been the correlation between what the ancient texts and what these ancient people did and the right to rule, and then what we see with the think tanks and the groups going on now are one and the same. And again, when you start looking into these numbers and how there always seems to be the same patterns that, I mean, you know, the idea of a coincidence just goes completely out of the window.
Yeah, there is no coincidence. I think coincidence, as I looked at before, it's a word that's kind of put out there to make you dismiss the obvious. You know, we've kind of been conditioned to like, oh, that's just coincidence. Well, you know, okay, one coincidence, all right. You know, when you start seeing this thing repeating over and over again, it's not a coincidence. Going back to the 300 number, I just saw an article earlier today when I was just, you know, when I heard you mention the 300, I'm like, well, let's see what's out there. And they had a conference in Chicago a few years ago to look into where the location of the ancient city of Ur was, which Michael Psarian believes is in Ireland. But here you have all these Assyrian scholars getting together to try to decide, you know, looking at the Bible and architecture, where this mystical city of Ur was, and 300 of them show up for the conference.
I mean, yeah, over and over and over again. Committee of 300 in heaven of the Anunnaki and the ones that came down and seeded life on this planet. And then you go, oh, wait a second, there's a Committee of 300 on Earth. Well, let's go see who the Committee of 300 on Earth is. Oh, my gosh, it's the Tavistock Institute. It's the CIA. It's Henry Kissinger.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, all of these groups. You're going, okay, now, you know, what are we supposed to think, Alex? I mean, you know, I mean, people can sit around and call us conspiratory and everything else, but, I mean, when the ancient texts talk about a Committee of 300 ruling in heaven or in the heavens, and we find the Committee of 300 to be the New World Order, I mean, you know, where are we supposed to go? I mean, Sherlock Holmes would say, elementary, dear Watson.
Well, you're supposed to dismiss it as coincidence and go back to talking about the Brett Favre being traded to the Jets. You know, there you go. You know, that's just coincidence. This is real world right here, you know. This is what's important. That's just coincidence. Ignore the fact that the people who are in positions of power over you look at these numbers, and they believe in numerology and astrology and all this. And you know, no, to dismiss that, that's only what the nutty people believe in, you know. Go back to beer and football and, Angelina Jolie's on TV. Hey, there you go.
Yeah, the nutty people believe in it. And Reagan and Nancy Reagan had a in-house astrologer. They never did anything without consulting their astrologer first. Queen Elizabeth I, all the royal crown have always had in-house astrologers. And they always consulted. All wars are launched on, you know, either equinox or solstice or something else. And I'm sure all that's coincidence. It's just like when they shot down the errant satellite a few months ago, and they did it right at the 33rd parallel in line with Sirius at the apex of the eclipse. Again, nothing but... Oh, yeah.
Hey, well, I wanted to ask you something. Going from the more ethereal to more immediate.
Well, you know what? We're on a break, Alex, so stay right there, and I'll let you finish up on the other side, and we'll ask you a question, and we'll get into some more news in the final two segments of this edition of The Global Reality right here on the We the People Radio Network. Stay with us.
That's war, and we're in. I know we can win it, so let's take my America. Well, it's all.
Everybody, right here on the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network, Wednesday edition of the show. Final two segments of the broadcast today, wide open phone lines at 512-646-1984. And we do have Alex in Florida on the line. We're going to go back to him in just one second. But one of the interesting things that I've seen is just how much of this, the correlations there are between what we see in the past and what we see happening right now. If you'd like to email me, if you have thoughts, guest suggestions, or anything else, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. You can also contact me through MySpace at myspace.com/globalrealityshow. And before the break here, we're talking to Alex in Florida. Alex, and you mentioned you had a question for me. Well, go ahead and shoot that out there, brother.
All right. I noticed last week that the Loose Change crew is putting out another film now. It's called Fabled Enemies. And I know Alex Jones is pushing it, and it seems just kind of suspicious to me because it's coming out now. Here we are 7 years after the fact. And it's about all the Israeli involvement in 9/11. And it coincides with the release of another film that was coming out now, which actually just got released, called Missing Links. I thought the timing of that was a little uncanny, especially having heard these guys talk before about how, you know, they wanted to leave out any Israeli connections to 9/11 because there was nothing substantial there, and all of a sudden now they're releasing this on the heels of something else, which is fairly definitive being released on this. Do you know anything about that? Or have any thoughts on that?
Other than the fact that, I mean, the bottom line of this to me, and I appreciate your call, Alex. I got another call lined up, so I got to go. But, my thing about it is that... that's always been something to me that has needed to be covered, has been the Zionist and the Israeli connection with the dancing Israelis and whatnot to 9/11. I think that's been overlooked. I think a lot of people swept it under the rug. So I think any sort of coverage of that is a good thing. I think anybody making a film putting that out is definitely good. The other one you're talking about, the other film, not Fabled Enemies, but the other one you were talking about, I think is... one of those, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's one of those put out by someone who was sort of on the end of the Zionist run everything. So there's, to me, my opinion is, I think it's important to get out those connections if it's in the realm and scope of where you're not, it's not the blame game. You see, if we're not going back to that thing where, oh yeah, it's just the Zionists that run everything, and if you don't say it's all the Zionists that run everything, then you are a Zionist. Or... it's the Jesuits that run everything, and if you don't say it's all the Jesuits that run everything, then you're a Jesuit. So there is, you know, there are films that come from that standpoint, and I think that's detrimental. I think, you know, it doesn't matter how good the information is, if you're still trying to pin someone in a corner and assign blame to one group, it doesn't matter if you've got information you can prove seven ways to Sunday. It's a bad thing. So if I had to pick one over that, I haven't seen Fabled Enemies yet. I would like to see it. I think that's important information to get out on the Israeli connection. In my opinion, I think it's important to do that without participating in that blame game, you know, where because all that does is it gets people back into this struggle where we're arguing between ourselves. And it's just like, and that's no better than the false left-right paradigm. You know, because then we're bickering amongst ourselves and fighting ourselves over, you know, who we think is in control, and we're not paying attention to the people that that are really pulling the strings and making things happen in the power structure. Alex, I appreciate your call. We have Mike Jones with us on the line, and so let's talk to Mike. Mike, how you doing today, sir?
Well, Josh, I'm afraid this isn't Mike. This is Michael Herzog, and I'm calling in. I'm trying to get a hold of the production department here to let them know I'm calling in today. So maybe I dialed the wrong number. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, it just came up on my link here, Michael. So I'm sorry, I just went to you, but yeah, I think the board op is probably listening here. So I guess we
That's fine. I just want to let the board up know that I'm going to be calling in today as opposed to Skyping in. Thanks, though. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate what you're doing for us, okay?
All right. You have a great show today, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Michael Herzog, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Calling in. I called live on the show. He's going to be calling in the show and not Skyping in. Okay. Sorry about that. I just saw it. It just popped up on my call screen thing. So I went to that. But there you go. We do have wide open phone lines. 512-646 1984, if you'd like to join us in the final segment here of the show. And I wanted to get into, we'll probably get into this tomorrow, I wanted to talk about the Council for National Policy and the ties to the British eugenics establishment and the sort of Fabian socialist movement. We'll probably get into that tomorrow or later on in the week, because it's one of those things where it takes kind of a great deal of time to get into, and we really don't have time to get into it today. So right in this segment, I want to talk about the Club of Rome and how it was, because the majority of the program today we talked about the Committee of 300. And the Club of Rome is a Committee of 300 subversive body. So we're going to talk about this, and we'll come back in the final segment, and we'll do a big final segment news blitz for you today on the show. The Club of Rome, this group was organized in 1968 by the Morgenthau Group for the purpose of accelerating the plans to have the New World Order in place. In the 21st century, in the early 21st century, the Club of Rome developed a plan to divide the world into 10 regions or kingdoms. In 1976, the United States Association of the Club of Rome, the USA Corps, was formed for the purpose of shutting down the U.S. economy gradually. And again, this is something, as I talked about earlier, that Brzezinski had talked about in his 1969 book, The Rise of the Technotronic Era, Between Two Ages. Kissinger's role in establishing the United States by means of three wars, the Middle East, Korea, and Vietnam, is well known, as is his role in the Gulf War, in which the U.S. Army acted as mercenaries for the Committee of 300 in bringing Kuwait back under its control, and at the same time making an example out of Iraq so that other small nations would not be tempted to work out their own destiny. The Club of Rome, acting on the behalf of the Committee of 300, orders to eliminate General Uhl Haupt, had no compunction in sacrificing the lives of a number of U.S. servicemen on board the flight, including a U.S. Army Defense Intelligence Agency group headed by Brigadier General Herbert Wassum. General Uhl Haq had been warned by the Turkish Secret Service not to travel by plane, as he was targeted for mid-air bombing. With this in mind, Al Hook took the United States team with him as an insurance policy he commented to his inner circle advisors, Club of Rome and its financiers, under the title of the German Marshall Fund, were two highly organized conspiratorial bodies operating under cover of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. And that the majority of Club of Rome executives were drawn from NATO, the Club of Rome formulated all of what NATO claimed of its policies, and through the activities of the Committee of 300 member Lord Carrington was able to split NATO into two factions, a political left-wing power group and its former military alliance. The Club of Rome is still one of the most important foreign policy arms of the Committee of 300, and the other being the Bilderbergers. It was put together in 1968 from the hardcore members of the original Morgenthau Group on the basis of a telephone call made by the late Andrew Pachichi for a new and urgent drive to speed up the plans for the One World Government, now called the New World Order. Pachichi's call was answered by the most subversive future planners drawn from the United States, France, Sweden, Britain, Switzerland, and Japan that could be mustered. And that's interesting. You know, the operating under the cover of NATO and how this is Committee of 300. You know, this is pretty interesting because, you know, Club of Rome, Committee of 300, who is at the forefront of that? Zbigniew Brzezinski. You know, who said that they would purposely shut down the U.S. economy gradually in 1969? Zbigniew Brzezinski. I mean, every single thing, folks, that this guy has said would come to pass has come to pass. And, you know, it's pretty interesting that there's been all sorts of talk. I mean, you know, go look up pictures of this guy. I mean, the guy doesn't look human. The guy's an absolute evil demon. But my goodness gracious. I mean, this is the guy that's behind, that was the former National Security Advisor to Jimmy Carter. And we know that through the bloodline, so if you're looking into Barack Obama's bloodline, he's a cousin of Jimmy Carter. And also, again, coincidentally, like everything else, Zbigniew Brzezinski has been advising the Obama campaign. My goodness, folks. I mean, he is the cult of personality, and he is being put in to kill this country. No doubt about it. That's why, you know, there's all this argument going around right now. But, oh, he's going to pick Joe Biden, or he's going to pick somebody else to be his. Folks, it's going to be Hillary Clinton. No doubt about it. They got you distracted with these, you know, this surprise thing so they can roll her out. You're going to have Hillary Clinton and Bill Richardson in the administration under Barack Obama no matter what, because they are higher level in the power structure. They are the people that take orders from the higher-ups and then bring those agendas to the front man, Barack Obama, and then he, as the slick salesman, will sell them to the American public and sell you on national socialism, and you'll buy it with a Coke and a smile and not even be the wiser. Final segment news blitz around the corner on this Wednesday edition of the Global Reality on We the People Radio Network. Stay with us. Final segment of this Wednesday edition of the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate everybody calling into the show and tuning in and being here with us. And we are going to be broadcasting 11 to 2 Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday, right here on the We the People Radio Network. Following this show today, we have The American Awakening with Michael Herzog following it. So be sure and stay tuned for that show as well. And it's really good to have Michael on board here at We the People Radio Network. I'm glad to be preceding him. Michael's let me come on his show a few times and get some information out, talk about chemtrails, and co-hosted his show one time. He's a great guy, so I'm glad that he's on board here at We the People Radio Network. I salute everybody. Again, I can't say enough how much I appreciate all the work, all the people, all the board ops at We the People Radio Network, all the people behind the scenes that get us up and on the air to do these shows every day and do all the work on the websites and everything. I just salute everybody. Everybody from every network, every host on every network. I salute everybody's work, all the actors, the people in the street putting out the DVDs, the people that make websites, ferret out the news. Man, incredible work. And that's how I know that we'll win. I mean, we have to constantly manifest the idea of victory. I mean, if we manifest this idea of defeat, if we manifest the idea that, oh, it's too big, and oh, you can't fight City Hall, and oh, you can't fight against the New World Order, it's just too big. I mean, if that's what you manifest, folks, that is going to be the reality that you get. Everything in life is like that. If you manifest agony and suffering and you know, just downtroddenness, you know, and we talked about earlier when we were talking about the Committee of 300, how through social conditioning and through the media and, you know, the music industry and all this, a lot of these people are put out. Well, that's one of the aspects of it. You know, that's why a lot of this doom and gloom music and a lot of this stuff where, you know, it's real negative, that's what that does. I mean, it entrains your subconscious mind to dwell in a negative existence. And if you're dwelling in a negative existence, you're going to have negative results out of your life. And they bank on that, folks. The power structure at large banks on you dwelling in a negative aspect. That's one of the things. I mean, that's why on some level, I think that, you know, and I've heard rumors, I've heard stories that I don't know if it's true. I mean, it's just rumors. But, you know, I've heard rumors and stories about, you know, people like David Rockefeller and whatnot, monitoring or listening to shows like this because we actually talk about them, and they don't get press in the mainstream media, but yet we talk about them. So they like to hear, the press that they get. They like to hear about them. So, but they, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know for a fact that's going on, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look at how arrogant these people are. You know, they know that, or at least they think that their power will never be impeded. They think that they will never have any true opposition. So they just laugh. They think it's real funny. But, you know, it's not going to be real funny to you, New World Order, when people start waking up on a massive scale and people start realizing how they've been lied to. So, with that said, right here, without further ado, let's get into the final segment, News Blitz, for this Wednesday edition of the show. Naturalnews.com, vaccines found to cause diabetes in children. Two new studies showing that vaccines increase the risk of diabetes have been published in the Open Pediatric Medicine Journal. In a prior study published in a journal, Autoimmunity, Dr. J. Bartholomew Klassen of Klassen Immunotherapies and David Casey Klassen of the University of Utah compared more than 100,000 children who had received between 1 and 4 doses of the hemophilus vaccine and more than 100,000 unvaccinated children. The Klassens found that after 7 years, children in the vaccination group had a 26% higher risk of developing diabetes than children in the non-vaccine group. This amounted to an extra 54 cases of diabetes per 100,000 children vaccinated. The Klassens noted that the vaccine itself is only projected to prevent 7 deaths and not 7 to 26 cases of permanent disability per 100,000 children. I mean, what do we really need to have? I mean, golly. I mean, my goodness, the autism wasn't enough, was it? My goodness gracious. I mean, have you seen what they put in some of this stuff? I mean, you can go look up the items. I mean, they put everything from aspartame to MSG. It's not just the, you know, the heavy metals and the mercury that they put in the vaccines. I mean, folks, they're putting excitotoxins and preservatives in this stuff. And again, eugenics. This is part of the depopulation program, and this is part of making humans less than what they're capable of being. They have to do that. You see, that's what these sorry SOBs have to resort to. And I'm sorry, that's what they are. They're some sorry SOBs, aren't they? Because they can't play on a fair playing field. They can't play on an even playing field. They can't play a fair game. No, they have to rig the game at every turn because that's all they've got. That's all they've got. The only way they can do that, you know, they have to track and trace people. They have to monitor people. They have to mess with people's internet connections, mess with people's networks and shows and websites. They have to try and tamper with vaccines, food, water, air. That's all they have. They have to play dirty because they can't play because they know in a fair fight, humanity will whip their hind ends. That's all there is to it. This is from RussiaToday.com. Israel's secret missile test goes out live on air. Oh, you know somebody was pulling their hair out over this one. An Israeli TV channel has found out that anyone who has a satellite dish can watch live transmissions of the country's defense ministry. No special passwords are needed, and transmissions can be easily accessed not only in Israel but all across the Middle East, including countries with which Israel hardly has warm relations. It is not known how many people witnessed Israel's secret missile test. A transmission from a camera and the control was apparently meant to interact with other control sites and became available for all those who were lucky enough to tune in. The footage clearly shows people, computers, and other equipment, all conversation, including passwords, to the computer of the Ministry of Defense can clearly be heard. At the time of the launch, those that were tuned in could see the whole process from the start of the countdown to the monitor showing all details, the secret weapon, including speed and geographical locations. It's not clear how or why the top secret information was leaked. The Defense Ministry has yet to comment. To watch the program, so there's actually a video link where you can follow that. Oh, my goodness. That is hilarious. Wow. Well, you know. Oh, man. I don't even know what to say on that. That's funny. But Nader predicts Obama to pick Clinton. Count Ralph Nader as unimpressed by the crop of supposed finalists to be Barack Obama's running mate. I don't think he's that dumb, said Nader, commenting on widespread speculation that Obama's choices are down to Joe Biden and even by or Virginia Governor Tim Kaine. The smart pick, according to Nader, is Hillary Rodham Clinton. Nader phoned into Politico on Tuesday afternoon to offer his prediction. That a surprise nod to Clinton is actually what Obama has in store. Never mind the talk of mistrust between the Clintons and Obama. He just has to swallow hard and do what JFK did in picking rival Lyndon Johnson in 1960, said the liberal activist and maverick presidential candidate. Yeah, that's a great correlation. I mean, that's really what you're seeing here. You know, I mean, they're going to, again, folks, the president and the commander-in-chief is not the one that has power. These are puppet front men, great salesmen that are put out there, then the vice president, the joint chiefs of staff. These are the people that have the real power. And again, I'm telling you folks, I've been saying for 3 years, before I ever heard about Barack Obama 3 years ago, my initial prediction was that in 2008 you would see Hillary Clinton be president and you would see Bill Richardson be vice president. Now, since the cult of personality has come about with Obama, I've had to adjust that a little bit. But, you know, it looks like I was still right all along, doesn't it? I mean, it still looks like you're going to have Hillary Clinton and Bill Richardson in this administration. Because, again, that's where the power is. Let's hit it. It'll hit it fast here. Rocket scientists say we'll never reach the stars. Many believe that humanity's destiny lies with the stars. Sadly for us, rocket propulsion experts now say we may never get out of the solar system. Well, we know that with all these supercomputers, that's one of the only few things they can be working on, folks. Propulsion systems, high-level propulsion systems. Even if they did have the technology, they are not going to tell you and I about it. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Carlyle Chairman Gerstner to retire. Carlyle Group, one of the world's largest private equity firms, said on Tuesday Chairman Louis Gerstner will retire and become a senior advisor to the company's buyout funds. Boy, I tell you, the rats are jumping off the sinking ship left and right, aren't they, folks? I mean, you're seeing all this. People in big oil, people in the Carlyle Group, I mean, they're getting out now. They're taking the money and running. And where are they running to? They're running to the socialist utopia of Dubai and setting up shop because they know that this economy is getting ready to tank and they're getting out of the military-industrial complex service industry of the United States of America. This is another one that just made my stomach turn. We'll hit this one fast here in the final few minutes. Citizens U.S. border crossings tracked. Data from checkpoints to be kept for 15 years. The federal government has been using its system of border checkpoints to greatly expand a database on travelers entering the country by collecting information on all U.S. citizens crossing by land, compiling data that will be stored for 15 years and may be used in criminal intelligence investigations. Not tracking the illegals coming over, but tracking you, the U.S. citizen, back and forth coming through. Total tyranny. Folks, that's our show. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. GlobalRealityShow at gmail.com and myspace.com/GlobalRealityShow. Stay tuned for The American Awakening coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Take care.
Did you read this?